greet you all in Jesus' name, and we're glad to be here this morning. I've been in this building a few times in meetings or whatever, and I often thought of at different times we could just run down here to service sometime. Well, we didn't seem to get it done, but anyhow, I'm glad to be here this morning and worship with you as we think of our accountability before God and our need of continuing to follow Him. We need the help and blessing of brethren and sisters, and even beyond our own local congregation, we need direction. I appreciate it somewhat, the thoughts that we're showing there in Deuteronomy of going back in times and the rehearsing again things that took place in the life of believers, and going back even in our own life. And Brother Stephen mentioned about Frystown, and it was part of my life, and yet it seems quite a ways back by now. But I know I was brash enough at a school board meeting one time to say that anybody that doesn't remember when President Kennedy was shot is a spring chicken. And of course, I got some comeback from that from some of the others. Some didn't remember that. And so, it is some memory that comes up, and yet more precious memories are those that were an inspiration to us in the things of God in pressing forward in our Christian walk of life. The message this morning we were thinking of, and we put the title on, is Pursuing Together God's Calling. That looking as a church group, and it gives the thought of unity as part of the thought, and doing it together, that we're interested in allowing God to direct us, and that we may walk together in this as a local congregation, as fellow believers and people of God, that we might have His direction in our life. One of the things that didn't particularly bring my mind to it, but I applied it then as we were thinking of this message, that issue that we're facing at Pine Creek right now, as that the building is way too small. We don't have a lot of extra money. We build a school. And what to do about it, we painfully feel it by now that we ought to have more room. And we thought of various things, even trying to build on there that didn't want to work too good. But what happened is, in the little town of Morris, there's a Mennonite Church of Franconia Conference. And all of a sudden, they come and said to one, our brethren has a business down there, and wondered whether we would take that building. We could have it for a dollar. And it's more room than we have, and yet as we look into the future, it may still eventually limit us. But if we would take that and buy it for a dollar and whatever legal issues we need to face, and they would give it to us, but they want us to start to have a testimony there, a Mennonite church. They want to be in there, that we would start something or keep something going there. And we had one song service there, and on their board that they have here, we saw their attendance was 6. And as older people, and I used to work with Willard Berge in the ministry, I don't know if any of you would have known him, but Willard had been one of the initial ones to come into that area of Morris to start a church in there for the Franconia Conference. Well, when we think about it, we are at the decision now we would like to do together. And yet we are minded that to start other groups rather than keep building bigger and bigger, reach out. And furthermore, the furthest south of ours, spread that we are in is about 30 miles. There's some live about 30 miles to the south, and then to the north, one might live like 50 miles, and then there's some that 15, 20 also to the north. And so how are we going to work this out together? And we are still talking and talking, but various ideas. Do we split up and start a church 5 miles apart, or something like that? It is maybe 8 miles. Or do we or what do we do? Ignore this offering? It seemed like the Lord is coming with something here. We have to pay attention. Whatever we decide to do, we have to look at it like it's more than coincident, the way this happened, but how we should do and what's the best thing to do. It always was in our mind that there would be sometime in the future a church started further south than what we are there at Pine Creek in Wellsboro. And so do we close this one, and then those north drive a little further, and south a little less. And so those are all things we do, and I don't think anybody really interested in using this as an issue to split up. But yet we're trying to find out what's the Lord's will in this. What is the best thing to do? The thing that we discuss quite a bit is we start a mission there. And every Sunday, or about every 2 weeks, we would have a service down there as well as up at Pine Creek. But we'd have our prayer meeting, communion, all up at Pine Creek. And that's one of the things that's floating around. And so we don't know. But it does come into our mind, we're pursuing together God's calling. We want God's calling. And so how do we find that? And I trust that God will bring us through. He has a way for us that we can pursue that. And that's what we're interested in life. What are we pursuing in life? And what drives your life? And what are your goals? What are the reasons of taking the course you take? And that comes down to our personal life as well. That what reasons, what is our goals really? Do we look at, in our situation, at the long-term goal that we wanted? It's not set right, where this church is? Or do we look at it that it's not coincidence, God wants us to do something with us? And so we're debating that. But in our lives, we may have goals that we're pursuing, and some may be good, it may be in business life, it may be in family life. Certain goals that we have in mind, and in order to accomplish or arrive at a goal, you need to pursue after it. You need to put some effort into charting a course that is going to meet that goal. And of course, we need to keep going after. But it needs to be in God's calling. We want God's blessing to be on our lives. And so our calling needs to start with God and his point of view. What is God interested in our future life? And where is he interested that we go? He is interested to begin with that we're seeking God's glory and that we're glorifying God and we are seeking to find God's direction in our life. But in the matter of church, the goal is to work together. And so either way, whether there needs to be another church started 5 miles away, we have in mind to work together, which means we're not alone. that we can't just chart our own course, but that we need the help of others. We need brethren and sisters to help us. We need also need to be using the gifts that God gave each one of us and helping others as well, and having his blessing on the church and on our own personal lives. We're not yet all we can be as we think of our personal life or all the Lord has for us. And so so we need others to help us to find our way in our personal walk of life and seeking direction from him. And then also sometimes the church gives guidelines. It gives barriers that tell us that we can't necessarily say this is what the Word of God says, but something that brethren seek God's direction and arrive at together, that this would be a safe course. And outside of a certain place, it's a danger there to last spiritually for us or our young people. And so we attempt to make a guideline for us to follow. And we can look at those things as a need that we may have to help us find our way, rather than look at it as a barrier to our happiness or something, but rather that God wants to seek us. We have five things here that God is calling us to do together, pursuing together. God's calling, and one is worship, that we worship together. It's a blessing when we can come together and know that fellow believers and the word of the Lord means much to us, and we could share it one with another. Another one is fellowship, that we need the fellowship of others. We are social beings. We need to know people and talk and interact with family and other people as well. And we could consider that a blessing. Another thing we do together is discipleship and following the Lord Jesus. We need to follow him. And another is to work our ministry, that God has given each one of us gifts, and that is our ministry. Maybe something we're good at or something that somehow lays on our mind, or a burden that the Lord put on us, or simply as something that others called us to do. And then finally is to be evangelistic, our missionary minded, that we are willing to or want to share the gospel to other people as well and bring others into the kingdom of God. And so as we think of this and think first of all of worship, and I'm going to be drawing out Ephesians 4 at times and maybe other places as well. But as we think of worship here, and looking at Ephesians 4 and 5 to verses 5 to 6, it tells us, Lord, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so we are thinking of God and the worship of God. He is one God. He's above all and through you all. And God is pleased when we together raise our voices in song or in prayer, in worship to him, and begins with our own heart of worship and being mindful of all the good, what for a great God we serve. This time of the year when you look over the mountains or whatever is the landscape of wherever you are, and you think the thought of the creation of God and how that anybody or nobody could have, but God could create something that functions and works together like the creation that God made. And so we think of worshiping, collective worship as well as personal worship. And In Revelation 5:11, there's a verse that speaks of the angels and the beasts and the elders were worshiping ten thousands by ten thousands, exalt and praise him. And this is going to, I don't know if I could say that who benefits more? I believe we do. We benefit when we exalt and praise God. It does something to putting our heart in a right relationship with him. And so God does call us to worship. In Revelation 4:11, it says, "Thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created." And so we have a God that is worthy of our admiration, our praise. He wants us to be doing that, recognizing that he is the God, and that we would worship and praise him. In John 15:14, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And then before this, he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And the fact that we can be friends with God if we keep with commandments. And also in time of trouble, we have experiences come in life sometime. We heard a prayer request here and there. Things happen sometimes in family. It may be sickness, it may be accidents that... And if we can exalt him in time of trouble, even though it hurts, then it is to submit to him. To exalt him even though something hurts, even though the problem is beyond our help, but we need the help of the Lord. And so we continue to exalt and praise him. Then that is a glory to God. We're acknowledging his sovereignty, and we are glorifying him in this, that we are going to accept what God has brought into our lives. And it's part of pursuing God's calling for us, that things that he brings into our life, that we are willing to accept that. In Ephesians, then we think also of the calling to fellowship. Ephesians 4:13-16, he says here that till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up to him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly trained, joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so we do need the fellowship, that we can have fellowship in the Lord, and we need to have fellowship with each other. Interaction is necessary for following unity, that we say what we think, we say what our thoughts are, seeking God's direction, and interacting with each other way. We can find direction from God. And so we think we need to pursue together a relationship, a fellowship with each other. And sometimes maybe we get into the habit of we go to church because it's Sunday, we go to church, and we need to have an expectation that God is going to give us something, and he's going to give us something to worship. And God intends you and I to channel his love to others, to be of like mind, to be minded to love one another, to seek each other, and be directed by him, to seek to move together with same timing, and not opinionated because this is what I think, but rather seek God's direction, that we are pursuing together the calling that God has for us, to not easily miss opportunities to worship at home or church. And sometimes we get tired, work a lot, we have a lot of responsibilities, and we may find it too easy to not go to church tonight because of this sort of prayer meeting. But we need to love each other and have a good relationship with each other. Sometimes when people interact with each other, we need to, one of the things in relationship to each other is how we make other people feel. Do we speak ways in a way that they can feel good about the talk that we had? Thinking then of discipleship is to become more like him. Discipleship equips us for service. We need to seek his direction. That we were made to the Lord intended us to be his disciples, and the saying is, "What would Jesus do?" At times, and we need to seek, be mindful, have the mind of Christ as to what the Lord would have us to do in various situations that come up in life. In Ephesians 4, 17 and 24 then, and the Lord has also called us to holiness and to walk in the way of the Lord and be minded after him. In verse 17 in Ephesians 4, he says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work with uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that he put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And so our discipleship is to be minded like our Lord Jesus, to be minded like him, and to evaluate our thinking and be like he would do and follow him. It, not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. It begins with our thoughts in life and how we think. The Gentiles walk in the vanity of our mind, naturally speaking, in our thoughts, unless we are focusing on something or the Lord. When you thought, let your thoughts just run, we tend to think about what makes us feel good. And sometimes what makes self feel good is not necessarily what God is calling you to think. And so the Gentiles walk in the vanity of our mind, but we're called on to have the mind of Christ, to be minded by the scriptures, find our direction at the word of God, and be minded to follow him. Because that kind of thinking in the vanity of the mind, having the understanding, being darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And then it takes some past feeling and give themselves over to all kinds of evil and wickedness. And so while we, of course, aren't minded to go in that direction, yet there are times we need to redirect our thoughts, that the first ideas or thoughts that come may not be of the Lord, and we need to seek his will. But ye have not so learned Christ. That's not the way the Lord would be telling us to follow the vanity of our own thoughts, but rather to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man. It's similar to, as your heart has been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ, now there's outward things to change as well, that we need to change the habits we had, change the old way of doing things that were influenced by the society or the world around us. And so it indicates it's like a change of clothes. You change the heart first, and then you work at things on the outside of, well, habits of life and reasons for why I did what I did, and renew again your mind to think after thoughts after the God and after the word of God, thus putting on the new mind, which is after God in righteousness and true holiness. And at the same time, you're going to be putting away lying and speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So we need to be disciples of his, that we seek and follow him. Then in our ministry, thinking of that in the sense of it's our calling. God has given you and me and all of us a certain calling that he has. Maybe something you're good at and you direct your way into it and God blesses it and it seems to be what God wants you to do. And it may be something that you are caught in a situation where you need to do, which you didn't necessarily think that was the course you wanted to take. But God gives you direction, and you have a ministry in church life as well, and in our own life, that there you may have responsibilities in the church that were given to you. Or there may be that because others think you see you're good at something, that they ask you to take part in that, and that you follow that course then. But something, God, maybe your ministry is praying, that and so you can give yourself to that, or whatever it is that you are letting God shape you, and that you are using the shape that God gave you to serve others, that God put you in the congregation for a purpose, and that is the shape that he gave you, the gifts that he gave to you, and the need that you would allow and follow after that and put attention to it, and even though it may be something hard at times, that you may give yourself to it, that we need to be directed and allow the Lord to use what you have. And are we willing to take it up? And what is going to be lost if we fail to take up the gift or what God has called us to? And so we have all have a ministry that God intends for you to follow. And he will give you the grace and give you the blessing as well to follow that and do what his will is. And so do we understand, or shape gifts, the gift that God gave you? Do you understand what, seek what God's will is for that, pursue after your gift and what God has given you? Then finally, thinking of missions, and 2 Corinthians 5:17 would say we are ambassadors for Christ, and that we, as good God, did beseech you that we're to be a witness as well for the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms or Proverbs 11:3 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And so we're called on to call others to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the need for us to be willing and to speak for others, for the Lord, and to reach out to our neighbors and be friends with them and direct them. And it's something I didn't always do, but sometimes if you pursue it, your relationship with your neighbor. My wife and I one time decided to walk over our neighbors we didn't know well. And so we walked over to the door and, you know, we said who we are and so on. And he was friendly, but he pretty soon told us that, I'm that way. The neighbors go their own way and you follow your way. And he wasn't really reaching out to know each other better and so on. But he was friendly. And so he didn't particularly ask us in, but we went home again. And it was probably about a good time after I was working in the yard one time, and he came over, wondered if he should help me do this and help me do that. He wanted to be helpful, and you know, he said, I want to be neighborly. I said, I want to help your neighbors. So sometimes if you pursue after and continue to be friendly, even though you don't feel like you're particularly appreciated, why you can learn to know and you can learn a blessing with him. And today now, just recently, he came over when I was saying something. I'm glad he was living aside of farmers, and he was telling me those things. But by this time, when we come in the driveway at the same time or come in the lane at the same time, he'll wave his hand and be real friendly now. And I just had to feel challenged to the many times that I just thought, well, I don't know them. But sometimes you need to pursue after your relationship, and then you only find them at the place where they're willing to talk about the Lord Jesus, our God, our eternity, and the things that we are going to face in life, and the need of changing our way of life. And you can sometimes need to open the door by a friendliness on a neighborly level, rather than just handing him a tract. And so so it is that people are captives, Ephesians 4, verse 5 and 8, 1:5-8, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, For he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So Jesus died on the cross. He took the captives of Satan, the captives of the evil one, and released them and set them free and gave gifts. He gave unto men. He gave the Holy Spirit. He gave his word. He gives gifts in the church. He provides for our fellowship with each other, and he gave all these things. And so people want to be, need to be released, being captivity of Satan. And we can do our part in pointing them to Jesus Christ as the one who died on the cross, and that we as sinners need to be delivered and washed clean from the way of sin. Let's kneel for prayer.